The Holy Gospel is recorded in Luke, the 12th chapter, and this is from Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message. Someone out of the crowd said, "Teacher, order my brother to give me a fair share of the family inheritance." He replied, "Mister, what makes you think it's any of my business to be a judge or mediator for you?" Speaking to the people, he went on, "Take care. Protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot." Then he told them this story. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop, and he talked to himself. What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest. So then he said, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll gather in all my grain and goods, and I'll say to myself, 'Self, you've done well. You got it made. You can now retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life.'" Just then, God showed up and said, "You fool, tonight you die. And your barn full of goods, who gets it?" That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. He continued this subject with his disciples. Don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or if the clothes that are in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your inner life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the ravens, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, carefree in the care of God, and you count far more. Has anyone by fussing before the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? If fussing can't even do that, why fuss at all? Walk into the fields. Look at the wildflowers. They don't fuss with their appearance, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the wildflowers, most of them never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and how God works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how God works. So steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You are my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thanks. Please be seated. So, who says you can't take it with you? I think that was probably the hearse for the foolish farmer in Jesus' story. Who knows? But generosity, another fruit of the Spirit among the others, like loving kindness last week and many of the others you've heard about so far. We have these fruits developing in us because we first receive them from the Spirit of the living God. All of them come from God. As St. John said, we love because God first loved us, right? Or as Max Lucado, the famous preacher, once said, here's a quote of his, "Where grace happens, generosity naturally happens." It's like that millpond, the result of truly receiving all of God's goodness and God's grace toward you in your life. It's to the point where it just overflows. It naturally overflows, and we just want to give and share what God's given us. Here's another image, another quote on generosity. Generosity is the most natural outward expression of an inner attitude of compassion and loving kindness. And then here's a third one. True generosity, this is Simone de Beauvoir, is when you give your all and yet you feel as if it cost you nothing. That's how it felt yesterday to be part of that kitchen demolition crew. It was just a lot of fun. It was good. And there were people afterwards saying, hey, tell us what you need to have happen next. And so that's cool. And just it's going to be fun to see what happens as this kitchen builds up out of that. That's how it feels when you give, when you tithe your money toward things like Lord of Life and Luther Hill, which had our camp this last week, as Pastor David was saying. And I was so proud of Sarah Finnegan, who's one on that team from our church. She grew up here. And also Victor Cavanias, who is a member of our partner church in Philadelphia Church in Lima, Peru. How exciting is that? And that's because of somebody's generosity to allow that ministry to happen. How cool is that? That's great. Things like Lutheran World Relief, Habitat, Interfaith, the things that Jenny was talking about a little earlier, all those things happen because of the generosity of God's people. When it feels just right, it feels natural. And yes, when we're in the flow of God's abundance, there's never a shortage of anything. The God who created the universe gives everything that's needed, and I think we're starting to understand this more with food. I was 24-hour fitness is the place I hang out at 6 o'clock in the mornings, and it's a great place for theological conversations at 6 in the morning. You'd be surprised. I walked in on a conversation with two guys, and one was saying to his buddy, you know, one of the things I have a hard time believing in God is because, you know, all these people around the world, there's so many poor people in the world. Why doesn't God do something about that if there's a God? And his friend was pretty sharp for 6 a.m. He said, well, what if God's asking you the same question? Why don't you do something about it? Well, that's how it happens. That's how people get fed. But Jesus takes it to another level in this story. Somebody comes up to him complaining and asking him to make it fair between him and the rest of his family and the family inheritance. And what does Jesus say? He makes it clear that generosity is a life and death matter. It's not just, isn't it nice to be generous? It's a life and death matter. That's what he tells them. He says, you watch out for greed. Watch for hoarding of anything because you know what? It's going to kill you. Interesting. And he goes on to tell us another one of his stories, the one you just heard, the rich fool. This farmer who has a bumper crop. In fact, he's doing so well that he's going to tear down his barns, build bigger ones, and save his grain until the price goes up, and then he's going to make it rich and retire and be in good shape. And all that, and, you know, well, you heard the story a little while ago. Why do you think God called this farmer foolish? Is it wrong? How many of you think it's wrong to save up and plan for your retirement? Nobody. Okay. How many of you think it's wrong to be responsible with your stuff? No? None of you? Okay. So anybody now, you've had enough coffee this morning, the earlier services couldn't think yet. Why do you think God called this farmer a fool? What? He was greedy. Anybody else? Pardon? Huh? Oh, he saw it as his rather than God's. Okay, all right. Yeah, in every Bible study we had this week, we study these lessons several times during the week, you know. It said the same thing. The big word in here was self. He was, everything was about himself, even talked to himself. He didn't talk to God and say, thank you, God, even. He didn't talk to his wife about what to do. He just was self, 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 all about self. And here's how a third grader described this in a couple images in Sunday school. The rich fool, he said, the rich fool said, I can build greater barns. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. But he forgot God. Yeah. So we talk about this, we have for ages in the church, it's some old language, but our time and our talent and our treasures are simply a response to God's goodness in our lives. That's how we've talked about it. But today we're especially talking about financial generosity, money, because that's one of the toughest places for us to get this whole notion of God's grace and goodness flowing. We get so worried about money, get preoccupied with money, all that stuff. Martin Luther once said that there are two conversions at least. The first one is the conversion of your heart to Jesus. The second one is the conversion of your pocketbook to Jesus, right? And but it's natural, you know, when we're living in God's grace fully and completely, then generosity flows. It works synergistically with the other gifts of the Spirit, by the way. For instance, joy. Hey, look at what we get to give away this month. Isn't this cool? You know, like that. You know, as I've said before, I didn't come by this fruit very easily. We all need help with developing these fruits in our lives. And Emily dragged me kicking and screaming into giving 10% of our income away. I wasn't going to do it. You know, I'd say, you know what, I worked so hard at church, I gave at the office. You know? But I kept going until we got to this 10% thing. And you know what? Now I get a kick out of it. It's fun and it's natural. The first thing we do every month is off the top, it goes to Lord of Life and the other missions that we support, and it feels good. And then when we have extra money, we go, hey, how cool is this? We get to give more money to something, Luther Hill or whatever it is. Isn't that great? But that took time for that fruit to develop, and now I just love it. I believe very strongly something I heard at Dave Ramsey's Peace Financial University. I think Rick Hopkinson was teaching it at the time a few years ago, and it was this: you can live better on 90% of your income than 100%. Laurie and O'Brien Hughes are going to teach it again, right? Sometime soon. Is that in the text or something? I don't know. But it just stuck in my mind. You can live better on 90% than 100%. Why? Because it's like that mill pond. It's flowing, and there's always more coming. And you do better with the 90 when you do what you're called to do first. Give out of what God has generously given you. This makes it easier, all of life. Like that mill pond, that if the water doesn't flow, it's going to stagnate, bacteria develops, and it's just going to become, really, quite honestly, we become spiritually dead in that area of our life if we just hold on to stuff. That's what Jesus was talking about. It's meant to flow. Like Dolly in the musical Hello, Dolly, she says, my husband always said this: money is like manure. It's no good for anything unless you spread it around. Huh? That's what you do. And in the first lesson you heard today that Joe was reading, St. Paul says this: God loves a cheerful giver. Well, you know what the Greek word is? I've said this before, I think. The Greek word in the New Testament for cheerful is hilarious. That's the Greek word. God loves hilarious givers, people who wildly, crazily go, hey, let's give. How cool is this? You know, that's the way it is. You know, otherwise, how would 35 of our youth and adults ever gotten to New Orleans on a mission trip where they can learn how to be generous with their lives, right? We're trying to teach life patterns here to our youth. If you guys hadn't been generous enough to invest in them with buying their stock before the trip, how could it ever happen? It happened because of your generosity, right? The same with the food that piles up here around the altar and some of the other things that we need support to give to support other things around this community. It's because of your generosity all that happens. So it really is true that the fruit of the Spirit is for our own good, though, first. It's for our own good. So that unlike the foolish farmer, we understand in the kingdom of heaven way of living, the Jesus way of living, we get to live before we die. You know? Truly live joyously, freely, you know? Unfettered like the ravens, and colorful like the wildflowers along the side of the road. Because we've learned more and more to trust that God will and does take care of us, right? Yeah. So when we do the offering during worship, yeah, we need money to run this operation. Of course we do, but that's not the first reason to do an offering every Sunday. It's part of our ritual in worship, is because we should be thinking about this. When the offering plate goes by, it's like you are putting yourself in the offering plate. take my life, that I may be consecrated, Lord, to thee. It's like you, anything you put in the offering plate is a symbol of giving yourself for all the goodness and mercy that God has given you in the first place, right? So here's a spiritual exercise I'm going to invite you to think about doing to practice this fruit of generosity. Even if you're giving online all the time, which is great here at Lord of Life, there are in those pew pads a little thing that says, bless my offering. And you can take one of those every week and do it today if you can. Pass those pew pads around, take one out of there, and put that in the offering plate. Or if you're not ready to be giving, you're not quite there yet with your heart, it's okay. Just take a thread off your clothes or a piece of lint. I'm serious. And drop it in the offering plate. A scrap of paper just to symbolize that this is me, Lord. I'm jumping into the offering plate with my very life in response to your goodness and generosity toward me. Huh? It's like that. Jump in the offering plate. Every time the offering plate goes by, remember that the very first thing is, Lord, I'm giving myself back to you for all your goodness and generosity in my life. That's what you can do. Generosity. Letting God's goodness and grace flow naturally. Because in this kingdom of God life that you entered in your baptismal water, remember, that's just how life is meant to be. Naturally.